TED Audio Collective.
So I guess my question is, was there anything you saw in Bob that you recognized in yourself that might have been behind tweeting that?
Ooh.
Oh, yes, honey. Yes. It's getting real up in here, honey.
Yes.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Hey, and welcome back to Conversations with People Who Hate Me, the show where I take negative online conversations and move them offline. I'm your host, Dylan Marin, and today I'm moderating a call between strangers. If you're familiar with RuPaul's Drag Race, the popular reality competition show where drag queens compete to win a cash prize and the title of America's Next Drag Superstar, then you likely know one of today's guests, the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 8, Bob the Drag Queen. As a contestant, Bob was a huge hit with viewers and judges alike, but not everyone was a fan. As is the case with many reality competition shows, some audience members feel compelled to vocally trash the contestants they don't love. Which is exactly what happened when James, a British viewer of RuPaul's Drag Race, took to Twitter a few years ago to tweet, "I really, really, really don't like Bob the Drag Queen." Now, if you're not familiar with Bob, RuPaul's Drag Race, or even drag culture, that's totally okay. This episode is about so much more than that, and we cover a lot of ground, from why we share our fleeting opinions about celebrities to self-confidence to how we use social media when we're feeling low. It's a lovely conversation. First, I'll speak to Bob, then to James, and then I will connect them to each other. So, let's kick things off. Here is Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hi. You have did you know that you have a slightly different podcast voice than your...
Really?
Yeah, it's slightly different.
I wonder
it's if more it's, inviting.
That's so, more...
Or just my, softer.
Yeah. Well, I wonder... It feels to me like the same thing, but in the way that we all are naturally performative people,
yeah.
When we're like, we're different when we're on camera. We're different when we're talking to a person.
For sure.
Yeah, we're different in all those ways. That's so funny. In my mind, I was just like, all right, and now we're recording.
Well, you listeners don't know, but Dylan sounds like Gilbert Gottfried when... He was like, oh, welcome to my home.
Yes,
it's so good to have you.
I'm glad you're outing me
right
now.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hi, Bob. Yeah. This is all a ruse. Hello, listeners. This is all fake.
And you can be the real you.
Yeah.
Go ahead and let loose.
I can't even do it. It would hurt my throat.
Doing Gilbert does hurt. I bet it hurt. You know, Gilbert doesn't even talk like that. I met him before. He doesn't
really
talk like that.
Well,
it's
what
like
does
a stage
he talk
thing.
Like? What if he talks like me?
And then yeah.
My podcast
his
voice.
Real voice is your podcast
oh
voice
my God.
And vice versa.
Wow. We're like Stranger Things. We're the upside down versions of each other.
Very that. Freaky Friday.
Very that. Freaky Friday. Lindsay Lohan. The Lindsay Lohan version. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Of course.
God bless us all.
I met Lindsay Lohan recently.
Really? How was she?
She seemed cool. She's like some lady.
God bless her.
Yeah, just some lady.
She's living her life.
Yeah, she has a new reality TV show.
I know. Wait, I want to get to you, though.
Oh, I have a bad habit of derailing.
No, I love the derailing is like what makes this good. But, Bob, you are, let me say the full legal name, Bob the Drag Queen.
Yes, Bob Roberta Elaine the Drag Queen.
Bob Roberta Elaine the Drag Queen, yeah. Perfect. People might know you for many things. People might know you as the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 8.
That's how most people would know me.
Yeah. Right, or they might know you as a comedian.
They might.
How do you identify artistically?
I say I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a performer, but if I'm like traveling abroad, they go, what are you doing here? I go, I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
They might know from RuPaul's Drag Race. Much fewer people might know me from the film Cherry Pop,
mm-hmm.
or even fewer people would know me from the show Playing House.
Mm-hmm.
And even fewer people would know me from my stand-up comedy special, Suspiciously Large
Woman. On Prime.
On Amazon Prime, yeah.
So get out there.
Go out there and watch it.
So you are a persona that a lot of people know. You are a person a lot of people know. You have a lot of fans. And for good reason, I'm a huge fan myself.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm telling you right now. But tell me about who you are in the kind of mundane way. Like what we might not know about Rob. What about Rob?
Who's I think you Rob? Might not know my name.
I've never heard of you before. What don't we know about Bob the drag queen? Tell us mundane stuff.
Well, you know, I really love, my friends will say that I hate eating in restaurants. Mm-hmm. I really prefer to eat at home, mm-hmm. but I don't cook. I never cook, actually. Mm. I'm trying to get over this, but I really am big into like, if people are like, where should we eat? And everyone's like naming like nice places. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like, I just want Domino's delivered to the apartment mm-hmm. and we can just watch like videos on YouTube. Amazon or yeah. YouTube or yeah. Netflix. I mean, I travel a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not home terribly often. I live in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. My life really is mostly working mm-hmm. and preparing to work, which mm-hmm. is working.
Introvert, extrovert, where do you fall on the spectrum?
Somewhere between the two. I mean, I am an onstage extrovert, and yeah. amongst my friends, I am an extrovert. Yeah. But in rooms of people that I really don't know, I'm not really much of a chatty Kathy.
Yeah.
No offense to all the listeners named Kathy or any listeners named Chatty.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe the last name is Kathy. Maybe you really pinpointed someone.
That one lady, Chatty Kathy,
and she's like, wow, I feel seen.
Which, to be fair, your parents probably should have really thought that name.
Yeah, but maybe they didn't, and that's okay.
But, I mean, I am, in situations where I don't know a lot of people, I tend to be a little bit more introverted uh-huh. unless the spotlight's on me, mm-hmm. and then I'm really extroverted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you get into drag?
Ooh, I saw it on Drag Race, and
really?
I watched season one, and I was like, wow, this looks, I watched Bebe Zahara Banana, and I thought she was so regal and so beautiful, and then I said to myself, I bet I could do that, and that was literally the whole,
wow.
And I was like, I could do that
That's
same thing.
Wild.
So then I started immediately doing drag during season one of Drag Race, like while it was still airing, and then I just started going out. I did like 4 competitions a week, uh-huh. and I kept going until eventually someone thought I was funny and they uh-huh. hired me, and then someone else thought I was funny, and then I just kept getting hired and hired, and then before I went on Drag Race I was doing probably like 6 to 8 shows a week
yeah.
in the city.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then here we are.
And now I'm doing, now I've made it all the way to yeah. conversations with people who
I know. this is the peak. I think every
I've made
contestant
it to
CWPWHM
work.
Yeah. Of course, there is a flip side to being very successful and very known and very loved as you are, which is seeing a lot of negativity about yourself.
The haters.
That's the new name of the podcast.
Yeah, the haters.
How does it register with you? Do you pay attention to it at all?
I do pay attention to it, and it registers different depending on what they say and where I'm at in my life. Like when mm-hmm. I was on Drag Race and I would get negativity, what happens is when you do Drag Race, you like create something or you collaborate with someone and then you present it to the world.
Yeah.
And then the judges critique you.
Yeah.
Right in front of your face. Mm-hmm. Like right. really read
panel
you.
Of judges, yeah.
And then you go home uh-huh. and then you rewatch it on television in front of the world.
Yeah.
And then the fans go online and they critique you. And then people make videos where they review the whole episodes and then they critique you. And then people critique the people critiquing you.
Yeah.
And then people chime in with their opinions about your looks and your makeup and your jokes and your comedy and your just, and not just it, but also just like your
just
face,
whole essence, yeah.
your body,
yeah. your existence,
yeah. everything about you.
Yeah.
It can be heavy sometimes. But over the time I've grown to just like, it bothers me a lot less these days.
Let's pivot to what we're here to do. We are here to talk to a guy named James, and he tweeted a few years ago, I really, really, really don't like Bob the drag queen.
Was it like in relation to something? Was it on a thread?
Nope. It was just a tweet.
Solo tweet.
That tweet. Solo exists. Tweet. So I know this is an impossible question because you have no idea who this person is, but just given the very little information that you have, what is your perception of James?
I mean, I'm assuming that James is probably young, maybe under 25, or at least at the time of the tweet, and probably is passionate about the things mm-hmm. that he really loves, mm-hmm. or that they really love. I don't know James's pronouns. And that James probably – really like gets into it, like when watching a show or you reading a book, is really into the things that James is into. And is probably also passionate about supporting the things that James loves to.
So I'm going to go speak to James, and then you'll both speak to each other. Sound good?
Work.
Hey, James.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing really good. One of my best mates from school is coming down to see me. I haven't seen her in ages. I barely speak to anyone from school because, you know, being gay, we all hated school, didn't we?
Is there anything fun planned for today?
Well, literally, we're both like pretty broke at the moment, so we're just gonna stay in. I've got my old Nintendo Wii, so we're gonna do like we're gonna do like Mario Kart. We're gonna have a whole throwback to the childhood thing. It's gonna, be a great laugh. Yeah, yeah,
it's really, really wonderful. I mean, I do think like the just some of the best nights can be done on a very tight to zero budget. So I think you're going to have a great time.
Oh, it all depends on the company, doesn't it? As
I think you're right.
Good company,
I know.
Good plan.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So James, to kick this off, I want to start with the question I ask every single one of my guests, which is, in only as many details as you're comfortable sharing, tell me about you.
Oh, God. Thank you so much for asking that question. I love talking about myself, as we all do.
Good.
Yeah, so hi, my name's James. I'm 23.
Hi, James.
I'm from the UK, which explains the accent, obviously. I think I told you earlier, I've had a few issues with like mental health and stuff. And my way of coping with it is we just take the piss. We just joke about it so much. So all the jokes of like, I'm so alone. Well, that's, it's our way of dealing with it.
I mean, are you comfortable talking about the mental health stuff here? We don't have to explore it if you don't want.
Yeah, no, talk about as much as you want. I've been through some shit, and I'm very open about it.
Okay, well, if you don't mind sharing, what kind of shit?
Oh, okay. I will say a lot of it involves people who probably wouldn't want to be mentioned in things.
Okay, great.
But I'll say, growing up, childhood, adolescence, very, very difficult. I was kind of in a situation that wasn't really my choice, so I had to grow up kind of quickly. But I'll get into it. I was at quite a rocky relationship with a lot of people growing up then. I've had issues with depression and anxiety for as long as I can remember. But what I like to talk about mental health is like how far I've come, like how strong I've become, kind of thing.
Please take us there.
As cliche as it's going to sound, I think I'm the strongest person I know, or this.
That's amazing. This is wonderful. I feel like I have a beautiful and wonderful three-dimensional image of you as a human on the internet.
Well, thank you, man. That's nice to hear.
Or I said human on the internet. I just mean human in the world. And I just happened to meet you on the internet.
Well, I mean, I am a real person, which is something.
You are a real person, which is, you know, literally the whole reminder of this show is that there's a human behind the screen.
Oh, that's very true.
So that's a good segue. A little while ago, you tweeted, I really, really, really don't like Bob the drag queen.
Can I point out, 50th of April, 2017. That's almost 2 years back.
So this is we're nearing the 2 year anniversary of this tweet. So consider this a celebration. As best as you can. I know you can't remember everything, but like, what made you want to tweet this?
So I had done a bit of thinking on this. I'll be honest, when I first saw it, I was a bit like, Jesus, I cannot remember for shit why I tweeted this. Because like personally, Bob's really, really grown on me. I really like him. But I do remember not liking him at some point, so I'm trying to figure out those reasons why. I remember when I saw it, I think in my head, I immediately thought overrated. I think what's easy about Twitter is you can get your opinion out there. When you're like me, when you like to complain a lot, at the time I wasn't in a healthy place as well, so the moment was really very negative. You almost exaggerate your opinions and feelings. And because you're behind a barrier, you've got no protection in it. So I just tweeted out that I really, 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 really don't like Bob the drag queen. And I'll be honest, I couldn't remember tweeting it.
Did you ever think that Bob would see it?
Jesus Christ, no. Have you seen my Twitter? No one looks at it anyway.
I'm looking at it.
Oh, thank you for that. One person looking.
Yes, no, that's great.
No, I'd never think he'd look. I still can't quite believe I'm going to have to speak to him. I'm terrified.
So that's kind of my next question. Yeah, yeah. How are you feeling about that?
I'll be honest, I am really, really excited.
Really?
I cannot wait.
Oh, okay, good. Good, good, good.
I mean, obviously they've got that mix of fear. Because yeah. I'm kind of, it's both excited and fear that he's going to like read me to shit about it.
Yeah.
And I hope he does.
Yeah. That's interesting. You want Bob
so well.
To read you. You want Bob to kind of roast you.
Well, my sense of humor is very much take the piss. I don't take much seriously. Mm-hmm. I love like roasting, as we all call it.
Yeah.
Each other.
Yeah.
That's, don't think I'm the best at it, but,
no, but
I seem to take it very well. Yeah.
But you look forward to being roasted by Bob. That's so interesting. Because this is such a non-roast show. But who knows? If the roasting is consensual, then I support roasting.
I think it's the thing you're going to say. Another reason I'm excited is because I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get to speak to a real human. And I'm just really excited. I've no idea what's going to happen. That I'm really happy to speak to him.
I'm excited too. What was your perception of Bob at the time that you wrote that tweet?
Oh, the time I wrote it, annoying, overrated, good, but not my favorite.
Hmm. Interesting. All right, so I guess the next step is you and Bob are going to speak to each other. Sound good?
I can't wait. I'm really excited.
Okay, wonderful. James, you are on with Bob, and Bob, you are on with James.
Oh, wow.
Hi, you're right, Bob.
Oh, I'm well, James. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm in a great mood. I heard you were British, but I just kind of forgot.
Yeah, now you were reminded. I want you guys to get to know each other. So, James, why don't you tell us and tell Bob about you?
Oh, hi. My name's James. I'm a Libra. Oh, my God.
Yes.
No, I'm British, obviously. I'm 23 years old. I work as an accountant at a big firm, which is just as boring as it sounds, believe me. What else? I play piano. That's pretty fun. I'm gay, obviously. Mm. Aren't we all? Aren't we all? That's why we're here.
Yeah, that's why.
That's the tie that binds us.
The tie that binds us.
Am I allowed to ask questions?
Yeah.
What is your connection to RuPaul's Drag Race?
Oh, basically, I started watching it 2 years ago because I was really depressed and had nothing better to do. And it slowly became like my favorite show of all time. I got so emotional during it. I remember the first time watching.
And just wanted to encourage you both throughout this whole process, feel free to jump in and ask each other questions. You know, you can speak in the second person.
We just don't talk to each other. Yeah, like, can you please ask James?
Yeah. This is Jerry Springer.
Like,
yeah, it's
like a lawyer at the at our divorce deposition.
Yes, exactly.
Can you please tell James that I don't hear her?
This is an annulment. Okay, so this is perfect. This is off to a great start. So, okay, Bob, why don't you kick it off?
Yeah, please do.
Tell James about you.
Well, you know, I moved to New York City in 2008. I was on tour with this, like, children's theater.
Really?
And I was going to go back home to, I used to do children's theater. I actually thought for a long time that my whole career was going to be children's theater and educational theater and working with kids.
Fantastic.
And then I said, I want to move to New York City and give it a shot. And I was going to move back to Columbus, Georgia, which is where I was born and where I went to college first. But the guy that I was touring with said, hey, if you move straight to New York, I'll buy your ticket.
Oh, really?
Because I really think you need to. Yeah, he goes, I really just believe in you. And I think you need to get there.
Oh, how lovely.
And
very nice.
When I landed in New York City, like within a couple of months, Drag Race came out. And I started watching Drag Race and I thought, man, that's amazing. So while I was auditioning and I got a couple of offers for stuff that I thought was really, what's the word I'm looking for? Like not what I was looking for. I wasn't looking to travel. I was looking to do work in New York City.
Like touring companies. And
yeah,
stuff
but
like
I and also wasn't getting offers that paid very well or anything. So I just started doing drag in the meantime and it really... To be honest, you know, until I did drag, I never thought I could be that good at anything. I was like, well, I'm really, really good at this.
Wow,
like, I really think
wonderful.
I have a grasp on what I was supposed to be doing this whole time. And then I started doing drag and, you know, building my way up through the New York City nightlife scene. And then, of course, I was on Drag Race.
Yeah.
The rest is on Instagram.
Yes, the rest is on Instagram. So that's where you guys intersected. Bob, you are on... Drag Race, James, you're watching Drag Race. And then James, a few years ago, you tweet out, I really, really, really don't like Bob the Drag Queen.
As I've already told you, I do not remember tweeting that whatsoever. It got no likes whatsoever, so no one else remembered it. So, you know, really, really influential tweet there.
I mean, influential now. Look, it brought us all together.
to like one person, sure. My claim to fame, my 15 minutes. Oh, my God. Thank you.
No. Fun. This is going to be an hour-long podcast. It's an hour long. Yeah.
And I'm going to talk as much as possible to whom I am boring.
Okay, yeah. Good. No, good. We're ready for it.
This tweet. Basically, I can't remember doing it whatsoever. What I do remember is the first time I watched season 8, I wasn't a fan of you, personally. And I think it's because going straight into it, I mean, you know yourself, you saw yourself on TV, you knew you came in so confident. But I think what I didn't like is because you were so confident, in my head as a fan, I was like, right, prove yourself, go on, let's see what you can do. Mm-hmm. And from what I saw at the time, I was like, oh, well, this isn't the funniest person I've seen in my life for me, therefore, I'm not going to be a fan of it. And so my smart mind decided, you know what? I'm going to tweet this out. I'm going to share my opinion with the world and see how this works out. It was obviously opinion in the moment. Didn't remember doing it. And it was obviously just filled with a lot of hatred. I mean, three reallys? Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Really? Really?
Yeah. Really?
Well, I mean, I found that as a person who, and it's not, by the way, it's not that I'm emboldened with confidence in every single aspect of my life, but I know what I am good at, and I really am proud of those things. So there's like a lot of self-deprecating in the world. I tend to lean into the things that I really do like about myself and amplify those things as opposed to highlighting the things that I don't like about myself. And it's not saying no one else is good. It's just saying that I just saying that I know what I'm good at and that I celebrate this in myself. But I've noticed that really affects people in a really interesting way to see someone who genuinely believes in themselves and doesn't really apologize for it very much. Especially because on my season, there were a lot of girls who like didn't believe in themselves and like doubted themselves a lot. And I think that people who do doubt themselves relate to that and they tend to align themselves with that. And the person who's saying they're great, they're like, well, I'm not like that, so I don't like that person, but I do like the other people who do the opposite.
I agree with you there. I must say, everyone loves an underdog. They come into it, they think, oh, I'm going to do absolutely nothing, and then they, you know, slam, bam, do the whole thing. If I ask you a question, Bob, now, you said you love many things about yourself. What are those things?
Well, I think that I'm really funny. I'm really good at entertaining a crowd. I think that as I've gotten older... I've recently found myself to be quite handsome as a younger guy. I didn't believe it so much, but now I really feel it. I also have a boyfriend now who tells me all the time, so I'm like, oh, I must be real good looking.
Oh, do you? How long?
Me and Jacob have been dating for it'll be a year in March.
Oh, nice.
Oh, lovely. One of the lucky ones.
I think I'm a really good friend. Like people who are my friends, I really. Commit a lot to them, not in like a way where I'm like committing like this that and I want something back, but just in the idea that I really enjoy having them around and I'll do a lot for them. I find myself to be really giving and I'm really proud of how persistent I am.
That's always something to be proud of. Yeah.
And what are some things you love about yourself, James?
Oh, I was thinking God is going to ask me this question. I'm going to have to find an answer. I love quite a lot of things about myself. I personally think I'm really funny. I think it's a bit of a like personal taste, but it's a good taste to have, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. I like you, Bob. I think I'm a really good friend, personally. I have especially if I'm dating someone, I tend to get a lot of the, I really like you as a friend, but I generally want to stay friends with you because you're a really good mate. That kind of pisses me off a bit. What else do I love about myself? I really like my nose because it's massive. I think it's very distinct.
Yes.
I think that's really good. What else do I love about myself? I love my piano. I think I'm pretty good at that. Yeah.
What's your favorite song to play on piano?
Not to like, you know, fat my own ass or anything, but something I've written because it's beautiful.
Oh, what's it?
Yeah, yeah.
Does it have a name?
Oh, no. I don't need to name them. I should probably go around to doing that, actually.
I have a suggestion.
Oh, go on.
I really, really, really.
I really, really, really love this song.
So another thing quickly, I love my laugh. Oh, I love my laugh. Oh, it's brilliant.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
I want to kind of take the conversation more macro because I think there is something, you know, we have three gay boys on this phone call. And I do not, and we do not, of course, speak for the whole LGBTQ community when we say this, but I do think that confidence can be hard won for people like us. And our respective experiences are going to be different from each other. And, you know, maybe listeners will not relate, but I just know that confidence is really hard won for us. And I want to kind of put something out there to you guys to see what you think about this. But I wonder if we are more turned off by other people's confidence who we relate to because we are scared of what it means for ourselves.
What do you mean by scared? Well, sorry, if you could go into it.
Like, I guess, like, we are intimidated by seeing people who are like us, i.e. gay boys, feeling confident because we have been told pretty repeatedly to not feel that way, and that confidence is kind of this thing we have to fight for.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, I know that for me, whenever I see, I'm about to sound like the only like self-help girl, but I remember years ago reading The Secret. Yeah. Not the book, The Help.
Great book. Bob read The Help and he loved it and turned it into a movie. Yeah.
No,
Bob directed it.
I read The Secret and I remember it said, if you see someone who has something you want, be happy for them as if it's yours.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And then it can be yours. Mm. And it's easier to see someone who has something that you want and either be jealous of it or to want it for yourself. But I do think we live in a world of abundance and that I can have that too. Mm-hmm. So if you can have happiness, there's also some happiness for me. Mm-hmm. You know, happiness isn't diamond that runs out. Happiness is trees that keep growing and growing and growing.
Yeah.
And there keeps being more happiness replenished all the time.
James, what about you? Do you feel that maybe we judge fellow gay people with a harsher, what's the word I'm looking for, guys? Like with a harsher metric?
There's less of a curve.
There's less of a curve. We judge each other more harshly because confidence is hard won. Do you think that, does that resonate with you at all?
Maybe. I'll be honest with you. I'm thinking about it now. I'm like, I'll probably have to, you know, smoke something to figure out that question first. But what I will say.
Do you mean like some sage or some rosemary?
Oh, yeah,
sage, yeah, just rosemary.
What I will say is, I think this is related to anyone, you know, LGBT community or not kind of thing, is what I've noticed about myself is that you tend to criticize and get more angry at stuff that you see in other people that you know are faults in yourself. When I say it of other gays, though, do I take down the people because they're gay? It's similar to me.
No, I don't mean taking them down because they're gay. It's more that, like, in the way that we will sooner criticize our own family members than other people. But also, the answer could be like, no, you don't relate to that, and that's totally fine.
You know what? It might have to be a no, then. Mainly because I just can't think in my head an example of when it's happened like that.
And that's totally fine. I totally respect that. So I guess my question is, was there anything you saw in Bob that you recognized in yourself that might have been behind tweeting that?
Oh, yes, honey. It's getting real up in here, honey.
Yes. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Before we continue, I just want to say thanks for being here. Also, you can be on this show too. Has someone said something negative about you online, or maybe you've said something negative about someone else? Either way, after this episode is over, go to www.conversationswithpeoplewhohateme.com where you can fill out a guest form. And if you don't want to be on this show, that is totally cool. I appreciate you just the same. Maybe consider telling a friend about this show. Word of mouth has brought this podcast around the world, so your recommendation goes a long way. All right, let's get back to the conversation. Was there anything you saw in Bob that you recognized in yourself that might have been behind tweeting that?
I suppose, but I can't think of any specifics right now.
So maybe in that moment, I just did something you were like, I just don't like this bitch.
Yeah.
It could well be that.
Totally. Maybe there isn't some large universal truth here. You were just like, oh, blah. Like, not this queen. No, and that is
not my cup of tea.
Yes. Right. Well, then here's another bigger question. There's this kind of right we feel that we have, and maybe you don't feel this, but in general, there is a right humans feel that they have to critique people who are living public lives. So if they're on a television show, especially if they're competing on a competition reality television show, we feel, and I'm using this we liberally, we feel that we have the right to criticize them, right?
I do feel that way. And it's kind of like this idea that I had. Now, bear in mind, I'm about to speak on a topic I don't really know a whole lot about.
Okay.
But I remember hearing people, like, everyone's talking about the Kardashians. Mm-hmm. And I had never watched the Kardashians or Keeping Up with the Kardashians. But I just knew that everyone hated them.
Mm.
Like, hated them. And I was like, what can the Kardashians possibly be doing
mm-hmm.
that everyone hates this much? So I watched an episode, and it just seemed like some people just kind of like living their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a theory in my mind that the reason why people really disliked them was because they felt like the Kardashians had something that they wanted that they felt like they deserved more than they did.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
So they think to themselves, how are they rich and famous? I could be rich and famous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just as pretty as she is.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's just as crazy as her mom is. Mm-hmm. You know, my sister's also pretty. They can be models. They feel like the Kardashians have something that they deserve,
mm-hmm.
that the person thinks that they deserve more than the Kardashians deserve it. Or the idea of saying, well, she's untalented or she's not this, even though it's completely subjective.
Yeah.
Even though on a subconscious level they don't realize they think they deserve it more than Kim does, they do feel that way. And I could fully be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the Kardashians, there's something really interesting about the bandwagon of hate that can happen, right? It's an easy bandwagon to jump on.
It's because people feel like they don't deserve what they have.
Exactly.
For whatever, they're just like, they just don't deserve it. And I was like, well, why? They're like, they just don't.
I think that's part of it. I also think there is, Bob, I think you said this before too, but the ease with which they have attained this. I don't know the Kardashians.
Yeah.
I can't speak on their behalf, but I don't know that it was easy to attain this. I think there is work that we don't see behind the camera, but they're not on this.
I'll be honest, like, they probably do a lot of work. I think it's less ease. It's more luck.
But even still, it's so funny that there is this, like, this one public family that we can all even casually throw in an opinion about and throw in our own theories about, which itself is like this interesting thing about fame and this interesting thing about, do we have the right to criticize people just because we see them in a public medium? And I think things like social media that literally encourage us, you log on, it says what's on your mind, what's happening, right? And what's happening is a ton of thoughts that are going through your mind all the time. And there is a mechanism to publish those fleeting thoughts all the time. James, you said that you didn't even remember writing this tweet, right?
No, not at all. I don't think anyone else did, yeah.
That's interesting to me. I mean, Bob, have you ever watched a reality show and then publicly criticized someone you saw on it?
I mean, this is going to sound really hilarious, but RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's my favorite TV show. I don't think I've ever said something along the lines of, I really don't like this person.
Yeah.
But I have said things along the, for example, I was on a show on World of Wonder called Fashion Photo Review.
Oh, yeah.
What they do is you bring up people's outfits and you say whether or not you like them or if you don't like them. But I don't know that I've ever, outside of some extremely shady policy. Honestly, for me to, I wouldn't normally attack someone's character unless that I felt like they made a transgression against the Black community, the queer community, or trans community, or any malign culture. And it's usually attacking what they said, not necessarily saying this person is a, I don't like this person. But I have said I don't like work that people have done.
Oh, yeah. May I ask a quick question to you, Bob?
Of course.
So was this the same before you, I'm going to say, got famous, or, you know, after Drag Race, what your name?
I don't know, to be honest. I mean, I don't know that I've ever said I don't like a person based off of something I saw from television. But I have said I don't like this movie. I don't like this dress. I didn't think that was funny. This makeup doesn't do it for me. But I don't know that I've ever, and maybe I have, but off the top of my head, I can't recall saying that I don't like a person based off of their performances.
When you saw Bob walk into the workroom, saw him be super confident, and if we're applying the same, you know, theory we kind of scotch taped together about the Kardashians, of we're seeing something that we feel is too easily won, was there something that you felt, I could do that?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I don't have to do it at all. No, I think I'm very realistic on that. I'd be the girl that like came in with like some kind of like shit, like £10 outfit. I'd be spending first immediately. This tweet was done like 2 years back. So I was in like a really dark place. I was kind of alone quite a lot. So a lot of time I'd just be like tweeting to the air, just all my negativity, getting it out there, being ignored, thank God.
I think that's interesting only because I think a lot of us can relate to that. That when we're in a lower place, it's when we are more inclined to kind of
maybe post. Perform outside of our moral compass.
Yes, Bob, that is the perfect way to say it. Yes. When we're in a lower place, like Bob said, we perform outside of our moral compass, and we also kind of, well, we all do it differently, but I'm curious how it manifests for you. So if this is okay with you, what does that lower place look like for you, and how does it manifest on social media?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can ask me any question on mental health. I'd say, especially for me in my low place, I felt I was completely alone. Mm-hmm. I'd just gotten out of a really quite horrible relationship. People who I thought were supposed to support me weren't being supportive. I was coming to the realization of my childhood, my adolescence, and like what it actually was, how it's going to affect me in the future. Mm. I was using Twitter, like I say, just tweeting to the air, just as a way to kind of speak my mind as such. I'd say at the time I was looking for someone to respond. I wasn't expecting anyone to, but I was thinking, come on, someone agrees. Someone give me followers. Someone like prove I'm actually worth something, which as we know is, or as we all should know, is complete bullshit. Social media and self-worth, completely different things.
Well, I guess the idea of wanting to know that someone thinks the way you think, that doesn't sound crazy.
That doesn't sound
Sometimes you're like, I can't be the only one thinking this. Yeah. Someone else has to feel the same way I feel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that's a good thing about social media. But I wouldn't say at that time that was my attitude. My attitude was, I just want the likes. I want the followers. I want to, I don't want to say it like this, but be somebody. And I have issue with it now because I don't agree with that whatsoever now.
You mean, you said be somebody?
Yeah, at the time, which is quite upsetting to hear, actually.
Why, well, we change. You know?
Yeah, we change, but also why is it upsetting to hear?
It's just because it's something that I see a lot on Twitter and a lot of people. You can tell they're so concerned about themselves, and like it's almost like their anxiety is coming through, and they're self-doubting themselves a lot, and they're just trying so hard to get these follow counts because they think without it they're not worth anything. And I'm like, I think that can be very toxic about social media. You compare yourself to other people. You think, why am I not this person? Why am I not getting all these likes? Why am I not this beautiful kind of thing?
Well, can I say too, you know, there's a negative connotation in the world where people say, well, he just wants attention, or so-and-so just wants attention. And I personally don't think there's anything wrong with wanting attention.
Yeah.
We have come to this place in the world where folks are like, don't give him attention. He just wants attention. It's like, I'm not asking for drugs. I'm not asking for money. I'm just asking for attention. Sometimes you want to be seen.
Yeah.
And to be seen is not a bad thing. And sometimes you need to be seen more than normal. So I personally don't think asking for attention is a bad thing. I think you have to ask yourself why you're asking for attention, and that is up to the person to decide in themselves if they're asking for attention for bad reasons. But I don't think that asking for attention is a bad thing. And I was also saying too, like you said, you're in a low place. Sometimes when we don't hold ourselves in a high regard, then we don't hold ourselves to very high standards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if we think lowly of ourselves, then our actions are lowly. And when we think highly of ourselves, we start to behave in a place more aligned with what we think is right.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's true.
But to want attention or to want to be seen, I don't think that's a bad thing.
I not only don't think it's a bad thing, I think it's an incredibly natural human thing, right? It is just something we want, and it makes total sense that it's something you particularly and especially want when you're in a low spot.
Yeah, everyone just wants to be loved at the end of the day. Literally, everybody.
I can tell you, James, that I feel, you know, I have had pockets of really low feelings recently. Mm. And don't worry, I'm totally okay. But
I'm happy to hear that.
But I'm just saying, like, I think the self that I put out into the world is like really just the curated, like, high images. But I too know the feeling of comparing myself to people, wanting to be somebody. Like, wanting to be somebody is not this thing that necessarily stops for people. I create these like huge narratives about colleagues who for some reason don't follow me back. And I project onto them and I project these like something I've done wrong. I'm not good enough for them. And I really don't believe that social media is a bad thing. It is a mini textured thing, but I don't know. This is a long-winded way of just saying like, I totally feel that too. And it manifests in me.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say, I recognize that.
I also go ahead, James.
Oh, I was just going to say, you mentioned this follow back thing. And that's something because I see a lot of people put like, you know, the hashtag follow back stuff on social media. Mm-hmm. That to me, I have a massive issue with. Because I just don't think that's something you should particularly care about. I followers, if you're getting paid for it or like your career depends on it, that's great. From my attitude, if they don't follow back, it's because they don't want me on their timeline. That's fine. It has nothing to do with me. Go on.
Well, but then again, I said it's all based off what your own opinion of what is a bad thing. If you know, if you're creating work, you want people to see it. You're not creating it just. I mean, I know I can only speak for myself. When I create stuff, it's because I want people to see it.
Oh, same.
So if I want you to follow me back, it's because I genuinely want you to see what I'm creating. I want a lot of people to see what I'm creating. So if I was very, very lucky to be on a television show that helped me get a lot of followers on social media.
Yeah.
So I don't have to ask for followers anymore. But there was a time before social media, I think before I was on Drag Race, I think I had like 10,000 Instagram followers, which seems like a lot, but for me now, I'm like, it's not a lot compared to the people in my industry. You know what I mean? And now I have over a million. Mm-hmm. But when I didn't have that, I was like, it would be nice to know that more people are seeing what I'm creating because in theory, I'm really not creating this stuff for myself. I'm creating it for other people to see. So for me, I don't think it is strange to want people to see what you're doing. It's just another chance way of saying, I really want to know that someone is seeing what I'm doing. Because if you were sitting alone in your room by yourself, you wouldn't be doing it. You know what I mean? What you do alone and what you present to the world are two different things.
I see when you're saying you're putting your work out because you want people to see it. Me on social media, I'm not doing it to put my work out because I don't think I'm creating anything. I think I'm doing work. I'm literally putting it to just kind of dick around and have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it for me. I don't tend to think when I tweet. I don't think when I like something either. I just do it. And I think, like you said, it's different perspectives there.
James, you were just saying that, you know, you're just dicking around and you don't really care, but like but that does contradict what you've also said, which is that when you tweeted the tweet that brought us on this call together, you actually were like hoping for someone to interact with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, I think that is the kind of paradox of social media, right? We can say, and we can even tell ourselves like, oh, this is just me dicking around. It doesn't really mean anything. But there's also that underlying, I don't know, is that what a paradox is, guys? Am I fucking up the definition of paradox?
Yeah, but paradox is something that kind of, it's a bit like a catch-22, like a catch-22.
Okay, great. Pretend I didn't say that. Pretend I said the right word, and you're just going to be like, wow, Dylan, what a fucking amazing point.
You're just so articulate.
It's so articulate, honey. Anyway, so, but there's that tightrope we walk on social media of thinking no one will see it, but kind of hoping everyone will see it at the same time.
Oh, I can get that. Yeah,
but now we're getting to see a lot behind that, and that's true. A tweet like, I really, really, really don't like Bob the Drag Queen. My first thought is, well, here's a hater. There's a hater. Hey, everyone, look at the hater. But we don't have to realize that, you know, even haters, and by the way, we're all haters, have fully complex lives.
Yeah,
that. A life that extended way before this tweet, a life that will hopefully extend past this tweet, that built in everything in your life up to that tweet. That tweet was a culmination of everything you've experienced up until that tweet.
Yeah.
So it's not just one moment that happened in a vacuum.
Yeah.
And now we're getting to see a little bit of the buildup as opposed to just being like, oh, that's just some hater.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can I ask a quick question to you, Bob?
Yeah, go ahead.
So when you see these, you know, hater tweets, as you call them, what is your initial reaction? And do you just cancel out like, oh, it's a hater, means nothing to me? Or, well, how do you think of that?
Well, it depends on the craftsmanship of the tweet. Some mm-hmm. of them are really funny.
If
it's really funny, I'll probably laugh at it and I share it with my friends.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, even professional critics, when a professional critic writes a review of a movie, the review says more about the critic than it does about the movie.
Oh, yeah. That's very true.
But sometimes they do hurt. Sometimes I'll get one, I'm like, wow, that was really uncalled for and unnecessarily mean.
Do you think there is something inherently toxic about the drag race community of watchers?
Oh, Bob, you can take this one.
Well, is there something? The short answer to your question is yes. There is something inherently toxic in the viewership of Drag Race, but there's also something inherently beautiful and uplifting and celebratory.
Yeah.
As well. I mean, there's a duality to everything.
Totally.
The RuPaul's Drag Race fandom is not just all bubblegums and rainbows, and it's not all torches and pitchforks. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But you watch this show and you get really invested in the people you're invested in. And if that person doesn't win, it feels like you lost.
Yeah.
It feels like you had a lot in this race as well. Mm-hmm. So if you were rooting for, like, let's say you're rooting for Katya and she didn't win, then you think to yourself, how can we atone for this? Mm. So you atone for it by going to her shows. You atone for it. Some people atone for it by donating to her Kickstarter. Some people buy her merchandise. Some people go to her show. And some people just go and give the girl that beat her a lot of hate. Mm-hmm. And they think that is atoning. It's also a lot cheaper than buying a shirt. I mean, calling Alaska a bitch is way cheaper than buying a fucking concert shirt.
Yeah.
Her shirts are fucking expensive. Yeah.
Drag her. I mean, and I just wanted to be clear that when I ask this question, I absolutely think that the positive of RuPaul's Drag Race so outrageously outweighs the bad. But when I even talk about the fandom itself I see is also overwhelmingly positive. It's just I think we focus on the negative. That's, you know, so then that's why I was curious.
It's because whoever's doing something different, that person, like if everyone's chanting oatmeal, 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 if everyone's doing it, one person yells spoon. That is what comes through because everyone else saying oatmeal and one person yelled spoon is like, so all you can focus on is that
is
one
spoon.
Idiot who yelled spoon.
But you don't talk to like random person.
You don't talk to the
oatmeal
person.
Were you chanting oatmeal?
You talk to the spoon person.
Yeah.
And then the spoon person becomes then it seems like there's more spoon people than are when it's fully just one guy yelling spoon.
So previously I incorrectly identified this idea on my show as synecdoche, which is a poetic term for a part signifying a whole. But what I actually think it is metonymy, right? Which is like when...
I'm going to have to Google that word quickly.
Metonymy is...
I'm partial to signifying a whole.
signifying a whole.
I'm sorry. I can't help myself.
No, honey, you're good. But signifies a whole. That's what my marriage vows were.
You have a great laugh,
back on
James.
Track. Look at that. What you love yourself for, James, is affirmed.
Thank you.
Anyway, metonymy is this.
I'll Google
Google. So no, it's just this idea. It's like in Spanish, the way we say everyone is we say todo el mundo, right? Which means like all of the world. And so what happens is like we are prone to exaggeration. What does metonymy mean, babe?
I accidentally looked up monotony and I was like, that
honey,
is
not
that.
Girl.
I was like, that it doesn't sound metonymy.
Yeah. Metonymy.
Oh, M-E. I've got a definition. You want it?
Okay, great. James, take us there.
So it says, a figure of speech in which the name of one object or concept is used for that of another to which it is related. That didn't help me at all. Jesus Christ.
Well, okay, so this
okay,
is...
Okay, I have...
metonymy.
It keeps showing monotony.
Honey. Well, your phone is cursed. So I think what that means is like when you say like nice wheels... And you're referring to the car?
Oh, okay. So it's like saying one thing to refer to a whole other thing.
I don't know. Anyway, I need to figure out if it's metonymy or synecdoche because I'm very confused by those things. Either way, let me just take
Go to Schenectady.
Schenectady, New York. Look up the word synecdoche and then feel monotonous and look up the word metonymy.
Yeah.
Yes. That's
that
what
was
we'll do.
Really good.
Well, Queen, I'm here for you. Okay, wait. But the point I'm trying to get at is that it's a forced perspective. It's the same way if you've ever seen a TV set in real life, it's so much smaller than you think.
Yeah.
And it's this like forced perspective of like, oh, if you actually just like adjust some angles, it looks like this huge cavernous space when really it's this small space. And that's the same thing that's happening when, as you mentioned, you know, everyone hates me. Or like,
yeah.
I'm getting a ton of haters. You're actually not getting a ton of haters. You are getting a number of haters. I feel the same exact thing. Mm. Like that psychology is what formed this show, right? Like I was getting so much more love, but it's so hard to ignore your, Bob, what you said, the people chanting spoon.
Yeah.
Right? Like you focus on the spoon because it makes you feel a certain way. I think there is worthwhile stuff to be talking about what it does, what it says about self-worth.
It might also be what each of those things weighs. Like, you know, if I think that someone agreeing with you kind of, I know this is going to sound terrible, but it weighs less than negativity. You don't need as much negativity to have the same effect as the positive. You need a lot of positivity.
Oh, yeah.
And you need us. I mean, let me say, negativity is like vanilla extract. You only need, only need a teeny, weeny amount to affect the taste of the entire meal.
Yeah.
Whereas positivity is like, it's like flour.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, you need like 3 cups of flour, but just a
tiny
vanilla extract, and the whole thing is ruined.
Yeah, no,
you tip that bottle over, and you're like, we gotta start over.
Yes, honey.
This whole cake is ruined.
Too much.
That was a great metaphor.
That was such a good metaphor. I'm so proud of you. I'm gonna quote you on that.
I'm also really good at making metaphors. I'm very proud of my metaphor.
Good.
My
so
metaphor
love.
Game is on point.
Yes, queen. So, yeah, anyway, so this is interesting and how we perceive things and what we call hate, right? Like, as you know, this podcast is called Conversations with People Who Hate Me, and it's not literal hate, but when you're just getting it anonymously, it feels like hate, right? Even though you literally didn't use the word hate in your tweet, James, it can feel like hate when you read it.
Whoa. I mean, you have asked Bob to find that one out, yeah?
Well, I haven't actually read it. I've just had Dylan say it to me a lot of times.
Yeah. What if it's all a ruse? James never wrote anything. He's never heard of Drag Race.
Show me the tweet.
Yeah.
But I have, because this comment was so mild compared to some of the ones I've gotten, it didn't really, it's one that if I saw it, I might respond either something snarky or I wouldn't respond at all.
Mm-hmm. I'd expect to not respond at all. I mean, as you said, it's not a particularly, I'm going to say spicy tweet because I can't think of the word I'm looking for.
I think it's metonymy.
Yeah.
I think the word you're looking for is
metonymy. It's
metonymy
for sure. Let's use the word spicy. It's not, you know, there's not a punch to it.
That's the one I'm looking for,
It's just
a soft slap.
It's just a soft slap. But still, I think it could be classified as quote unquote, like, oh, I'm getting a lot of hate online.
Well, I mean, it is direct negativity, isn't it?
Yeah.
It depends how the other person takes it, really.
Exactly. So we've covered a ton of ground here. We've covered self-worth. We've covered confidence. We've covered how we are enabled to criticize celebrities. We've talked about celebrity culture. We've talked about queer culture. We've talked about Drag Race culture. When I spoke to you guys individually, I asked you to tell me your perception of the other person, and I'm curious how that's changed. So, James, I want to start with you. Has your perception of Bob changed at all since being on this call?
Well, as I remember when I spoke to you, I said my perception, I kind of tried to give you the perception of what I would have felt 2 years ago, which wasn't particularly good things. Coming into this call, hands down, I had no expectation. I was like, I've no idea how I was going to speak. Judging on, like, I've heard you speak a bit on politics, I'm like, okay, he's going to know his shit, that's for sure. Perception now, I think you're very easy to talk to, Bob. I think you're clear in what you're talking about. And what I like about you is, like me, you laugh at your own jokes. I really like that. funny. Yeah,
I don't think I'm funny. How can I expect, if I don't think I'm funny, how can I expect anyone else to laugh at my jokes?
Yeah, yeah.
If you can't laugh at your own jokes, how the hell are you going to laugh at somebody else? Can I get an amen
at
up in
the
here?
End of the
amen.
Bob. At the end of the Bob the Drag Queen show. That's what the sign off line will be. Bob, how has your... I know you didn't have any real idea of who James was. You just knew a first name and you knew a tweet. But has your perception changed at all of him?
Not a whole lot. I mean, I didn't say it before, but I've always had a kind of a theory that hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And James said that he was a hurt people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the time.
I am one hurt person,
You were one hurt people. Take one hurt people and call me in the morning. And this confirmed that, but I do see now that James doesn't have, you know, ill will toward me, or that he doesn't still feel those ways.
Yeah.
And I'm just happy that I got a chance to, you know, hear the thought process of someone who might say something negative about me online.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I'm very happy you listened, because it's always nice to talk about yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And it's always good to hear about people, too.
It is good to hear about people.
I mean, we really ask questions so people will ask us back.
Yeah.
How was your day? Oh, wait, you want to know how mine was, too? Thanks for asking.
Exactly. Are there any kind of final things you guys want to say to each other?
I just want to say I've had the best time. This has been fantastic. Oh,
I'm so glad.
Yeah, this was really fun for me to have this discussion. I'm also grateful to Dylan for having me.
Yeah,
it's really a joy to be on a podcast I listen to all the time. Yeah. I wonder if I'll listen to this episode. Like, it'd be weird to listen to this episode.
You got me.
Yeah. Red-handed.
No, I mean, I love doing this show so much. I say this frequently on the show, but I love these calls. Like in the most serious way. Like, I truly feel better about the world after we hang up on a phone call.
That's lovely. That's very nice, isn't it?
Yeah. I really, really do. It just feels good. And this is no exception. I think it's really fascinating to hear someone who wrote a totally fleeting judgment, somewhat innocuous judgment, and then connect with the person they said it about, and I don't know.
What I will say is, I mean, I told you, I've told this many times, I was so surprised when you sent me this, like, do you remember you tweeted this 2 years back? Like, not at all. Who would have known that this little gay boy's thoughts would be, like, on this podcast at some point? What I've really enjoyed is thinking back to myself 2 years back and thinking, like, Jesus Christ, you're a completely different person, aren't you?
And you feel you've changed?
I feel I've changed for the best. I've also noticed that I'm a pretty negative person deep down, but I think I always knew that, so that's okay, isn't it?
Do you think you're still a negative person?
I think I focus on the positivity now. I think inherently I can be very negative, but I think that's being a person, isn't it?
Yeah.
Focus on the spoon.
Yeah, you focus on the spoon.
Focus on the spoon, yeah.
And I think that's just, that's more an inevitability of human psychology than it is this, like, thing that is inherent about us, right? Or that makes us.
You've been diagnosed with the human condition.
yes. James.
So it turns out you're a full, you have full blown human.
Yes. Full blown human all over your body. Well, anyway, I really do appreciate both of you doing this. Bob, when you first reached out and were interested in doing it, I was like, totally, you know, I think you're amazing, and I was honored to do this with you. And James, it's really been so nice getting to know you through this process. I think you're so sweet and wonderful.
Same with you.
And thank you guys, and feel free to chime in with anything else you want to say to close out.
No, it's been lovely. Thank you for spending this time with us.
Of course.
All I can say, Bob, is that I've really, really, really enjoyed my time with you.
Ooh, nice twist.
I really, really,
it's perfect.
So full 360, handy.
Well, we will all see each other on the internet. Sound good?
Can't wait.
Okay.
Peace out, man.
Bye.
If you'd like to be a guest on this show, please visit www.conversationswithpeoplewhohateme.com for more information. Conversations with People Who Hate Me is a production of Night Vale Presents. Vincent Cascione is the sound engineer and mixer. Christy Gressman is the executive producer. The theme song is These Dark Times by Caged Animals. The brand new logo was designed by Philip Blackowl with a photo by Mindy Tucker. And this podcast was created, produced, and hosted by me, Dylan Marin. Special thanks to Adam Cecil and our publicist, Megan Larson. We'll be releasing episodes every other week, so I will see you in 2 weeks with a brand new conversation. Until then, remember, there's a human on the other side of the screen.
Ooh, we're racing, racing through these dark times. And it's hard to take it, but we're gonna make it through these dark times. Make it through these dark times. Make it through these dark times.